And we're going to say a prayer here in just a minute before we begin. And I want all of you to do one thing. I want you to forget what happened today. I want you to set it aside. And I want you to listen. And I want you to concentrate. And I want you to focus. It's easy for that to become a distraction. I noticed this morning, after all that stuff happened, immediately after Fassel spoke, which was an incredible message, immediately after he spoke, Monty had to come up here and kind of squash everything. And so it's almost like that high that was there after that great message, it kind of went away because Monty didn't have any choice in the matter. And that's what happens when people make, you know, bad decisions. So learn from it. I hope all of us learn from it because it's just not worth it. See, what happens, sometimes your bad decisions will lead to everybody else suffering because of it. And that's kind of what happened this morning. We want to avoid that. We don't want to do that. We don't want to go there. I could tell you all kinds of stories of the arrests that I've made over the years. I bet you I've arrested hundreds of people. Put them in handcuffs, take them to the jail, they get processed, and it's just, the whole thing's not any fun for anybody. So let's avoid that. Let's don't go down that path. And just listen to what the Word of God has to teach us tonight. Last night when we were talking about Daniel, we talked about the three questions that everyone asks at some point in their life. And those three questions are, where did I come from? The second one is, why am I here? And then the third one, which is what we're going to study tonight, is, where am I going? And at the end of the message, or probably the last 20 minutes or so of the message tonight, I'm going to show you a video. And I think this video is going to encourage you. It's going to make you, it's going to lift you up. It's going to be something good. And I think you guys are going to like it. But anyway, of the three questions, where did I come from, why am I here, and where am I going, the most important one is this last one, where am I going? In relation to the Battle of the Ages, that question is the most important thing that you can ask yourself and also the most important thing that you can answer. Now here in a few minutes, we're going to go to two passages of Scripture that are known in theological circles, known amongst pastors as tough passages to explain. But my goal is to show you that the Bible is always accurate and that what the Bible says comes true. Okay? So if the Bible says something and then it comes true, that means that we can trust what the Bible has to say. Now regarding where am I going, all of us have a choice to make before we leave this earth. We can either choose to put faith in Jesus Christ for eternal life, or we can choose not to. And unfortunately, if we don't, we're going to go to a place called hell and eventually the lake of fire. Now, I didn't say that. The Word of God says that. But I know for a fact that there are certain pastors today in some churches who say that hell's not real, who say that hell doesn't exist. But I'm here to tell you that it does. And the reason why is because we're going to look at some things here in a few minutes to prove, like I said, that the Bible says one thing and it says it before it happens, and then what it says, it comes true. So therefore, if what it says has not comes true before it says it, then that means what it says about the future is going to come true as well. Okay? So in Revelation chapter 20, verses 13 through 14, you don't have to turn there. It says this: "And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and Hades gave up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every one of them, according to their deeds. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire." Now this is where every unbeliever in human history, this is where they are going. Those guys, those ISIS cowards that made those attacks in Manchester a few weeks ago, the guys who ran over the people on the bridge and then were shot dead by the police, they are in hell right now. Okay? And I promise you, they don't want to be there. But that's the reality. because they did not choose for Christ before they left this earth. Now Jesus said regarding the other choice, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son that whosoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. Jesus said in John 3:36, he who believes in the Son has eternal life, but he who does not obey the Son will not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. And again in John 5:24, Jesus said, truly, truly, I say to you, that the one who hears my word and who believes the one who sent me has eternal life and does not come into judgment, but has passed from death into life. Now what I want you to understand is that Jesus said, if you want to have eternal life, then you put your faith and your trust in him. And when you do, you will not go to hell in the lake of fire. This is a promise from Christ. So when we think about where are we going, the most important question you can answer is this one right here regarding Jesus. Now, I told you that the Bible proves itself. Can we put up that first slide, Clint? We've been studying about Daniel, right? Okay? So we read here in, where'd it go? Oh. Is it up now? Okay. We read in 2 Kings chapter 20, verses 16 through 18. It says, then Isaiah said to Hezekiah, hear the word of the Lord. Behold, the days are coming when all that is in your house and all that your fathers have laid up in store to this day shall be carried to Babylon. Nothing shall be left, says the Lord. Some of your sons who shall issue from you, whom you shall beget, shall be taken away, and they shall become officials in the palace of the king of Babylon. Now somebody take a wild guess who he's talking about. Daniel, right? Did not Daniel, was he not taken away? Was he not taken to Babylon? Did he not become an official in the house of the king? Okay? Now the crazy thing is this. Here's the important fact about this. This passage, when Isaiah said this to Hezekiah, he said that 115 years before Daniel was even born. Are you guys seeing the connection here? The Bible made this prophecy. God told Isaiah to write this prophecy to say these things, and it was said 115 years before it ever happened. But yet it happened down to the smallest detail. Okay? So therefore, we can trust what the Word of God has to say. Now, there's two more passages that I want to show you, and we're going to do that in just a minute. But regarding Daniel, what about him? What about his future? What happened to him? If you guys have your Bibles, turn to Daniel chapter 12 and read with me verse 13. This is the last verse in Daniel. He says, but as for you, go your way to the end. Then you will enter into rest and rise again for your allotted portion at the end of the age. Here we have Daniel being promised something. Here we have Daniel finding out where he's going. First of all, Daniel died in peace as an old man. We know this from history. His soul will be at rest and then will rise again. That's what the promise is in this verse. But as for you, Daniel, go your way to the end. In other words, you're going to die. Then you will enter into rest and rise again for your allotted portion at the end of the age. This tells us that since Daniel put faith in Christ, since Daniel obeyed the Lord, he will rise again. He will be resurrected. And what's important is he will have an allotted portion on the earth during a period of time we call the millennium. It's a 1,000-year period of time then where Jesus will reign. I want to tell you guys something. I got a prediction for you. If the rapture were to happen right now, this earth would be here for at least another 1,007 years. And guess what? That's not a prediction. That's a fact. This earth is not going to be destroyed by global warming. That is a big farce. That is a big lie. Okay? This earth is not going to be destroyed by terrorists. It's not going to be destroyed in any other way except by the Lord. And it's not going to happen until there's a seven-year period of time called the tribulation, and then 1,000 years after that. And then the Lord is going to destroy the earth, and he's going to make a new earth and a new heaven. That's what the Bible promises us. So all this garbage that you guys are being fed today from people who say, like I said, about global warming, that we need to, that we're harming the planet, that is one of the most arrogant things that I've ever heard in my life. That people think that we men can actually have some kind of an effect on the planet. It's simply not true. Okay? But anyway, so here we have Daniel. Here's his end. This is where he's headed. Now I want to take you to two passages, and as I said, I'm going to try and explain these to you guys as best I can. I had not intended to do this, but I wanted to make the point that the Bible proves itself, that what the Bible says is true. Now, in order to set up this first passage, it's going to be in Revelation. In order to set this up, we need to understand something. The land of Israel, the Jews and Israel, have been under persecution almost basically since their beginning. They've always been under the foot of what's called Gentile nations. Now, a Gentile nation is simply a nation that's not Jew. They're not Jewish. So you have the Jews and you have the Gentiles. And for a very long period of time, since the days of Egypt, Israel has been under the foot of the Gentiles. Basically, they've always been at war. They've always been, there's always been somebody trying to take them out. Okay? Now, there's a passage in Revelation. Go ahead and put that one up, Clint. Anybody ever read this one before? I'm going to read it to you now. Read with me. It says, "Here's the mind which has wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sits. And they are seven kings, five have fallen, one is. The other has not yet come, and when he comes, he must remain a little while. The beast which was and is not is himself also an eighth, and is one of the seven, and he goes to destruction. The ten horns which you saw are ten kings, which have not yet received a kingdom, but they receive authority as kings with the beast for 1 hour. These have one purpose, and they give their power and authority to the beast. These will wage war against the Lamb, and the Lamb will overcome them, because he is Lord of lords and King of kings. And those who are with him are the called and chosen and faithful." Now, this is one of those passages that a lot of people have a hard time with. Okay? But I really want you to try and understand this, because this passage is very important. And what this passage proves, once again, is that the Bible's accurate. And I'm here to tell you, when he says in verse 9, the seven heads and the seven mountains and all these things, and in verse 10, talking about these kings, these refer to Gentile nations. Okay? And what's crazy is a lot of these nations have already come and gone, just like the Bible says. So here we have a total of eight kings. Do you see that? A total of eight nations. Because he says in verse 10, five have fallen, there's five. One is, that's six. The other has not yet come, that's seven. And then it says in verse 11, the beast which was and is not is also himself an eighth. So we're talking about eight different things here. This is not speaking of Rome and the seven hills of Rome or anything like that. This is speaking about kingdoms and nations. And if you guys, see, this is why you need to understand history. And this is why you need to understand the Bible, because the two intersect all the time. So what I want to do, I want to write down what these seven kingdoms are. And remember, each one of these had dominion over Israel. And I'm making a point through all this, so you guys got to stick with me here. Okay? Number one, the first kingdom is going to be Egypt. The second one is going to be Assyria. And then we have Babylon. Then we have what's called Medo-Persia. And then we have Greece. Rome. Oh, thank you. Is that one better? Oh, that's much better. Thank you. Thank you. Can y'all see all that? No, not really. Oh, thank you. And then we have, now see, here's where some people kind of go crazy, and kind of there's a lot of disagreement, the Ottoman Empire. And then we have one, I'm just going to call it AC, and I'm going to put out here beast. Okay. Now, what does this have to do with anything? It has everything to do with everything. Okay? All right? Now, listen. Egypt was the first country, the first nation, the first kingdom that had dominion over the Jews. Do you remember the story of Moses? You remember how they were in bondage to Egypt for so long? The Egyptians were over them, right? And so they come out of Egypt and they go into they eventually end up in the land of promise, in the land of Israel. And then as the years go by, the Jews, they don't obey the Lord. They go the wrong direction and they begin to make mistakes, and the Lord finally punishes them. And so then they come under the dominion of the Assyrians. Then they come under, as we're seeing in Daniel, the dominion of the Babylonians. Then come the Persians. See, that's Daniel chapter 6. And then comes Greece. That's Daniel chapter 8, talks about that. Then there's Rome. Okay, and then there's the Ottoman Empire. And then, of course, this one has not yet come. Now, these other seven have already come. They've already come and gone. This one right here, Rome, is the Roman Empire. That's when Jesus was alive. Okay? And so when John, when he wrote this, the book of Revelation, when he says in verse 10, one is, he was referring to the nation of Rome. And then what happened, I believe, not everybody agrees with this, but I believe the Ottoman Empire is the seventh one, the one which is yet to come, as far as when John wrote this. Who can tell me anything about the Ottomans? What are they related to? Yes, sir. Yeah, they did. They covered a whole lot of land. They sure did. But they were Muslims. Did you guys know that? Did you know the Ottoman Empire was Muslims? Who's attacking Europe right now? Islam, right? Anyway, so Rome was divided into two parts. Okay, there became a Western Roman Empire and an Eastern Roman Empire. The Western Roman Empire, which was in Rome, that fell about 434 A.D. when some German barbarians came across the Rhine River when it was frozen and they sacked Rome. Okay, but then the eastern side of the Ottoman or the Roman Empire, that didn't fall until 1453, when a place called Constantinople, which was the capital of the Eastern Roman Empire, was attacked by an Islamic king. I forget his name, but it was an Islamic caliphate. And that city fell and became Istanbul, which is what it is today. Okay? And then in 1921, this empire fell, the Ottoman Empire. The Bible tells us that the empire that is yet to come during the tribulation is going to be ruled by the beast. And it says it's going to be a revived, like a revived Roman Empire. All right? But the question is, which Roman Empire? Is it going to be the eastern or the western half of the Roman Empire? I personally believe that it's going to be an Islamic caliphate. I could be wrong. I'm telling you right now, I could be wrong. But if I'm wrong, so be it. But if I'm right, so be it. The point I'm trying to make, my friends, is this. All these things that John said was going to happen in the future, all these things have already happened all the way up to right here. Now, you and I, we're living right here, right in between those two right there. So if the Bible, see, if all these things have happened just as the Bible said they would, then that means that the rest of it is going to happen as well. Therefore, we can put faith and trust in what the Word of God has to say regarding where we are going. And so when we look at the world today, Gene's going to hit more on this tomorrow night and the next night, so I'm not going to spend any time here, but just trust me. When we look at the world today and we see what's going on with Islam, you better wake up and you better pay attention. Europe right now is under attack. It's not like an army with tanks, okay? But it's under attack culturally and it's under attack physically because Islam is trying to take over. That's what Islam does. Islam is not a religion of peace. Don't believe that lie either. Muslims are coming to faith by the thousands in the Middle East. And my son Connor studied Islam when he was in college, and he made the point that when a Muslim, when the light finally comes on about Jesus Christ, it's absolutely amazing. Okay? Because the Muslim is under bondage to the religion of Islam. So don't believe what you hear today that Islam is a religion of peace, because that is a lie. Alright? So anyway, so here we have the beast. Now this is what's going to happen during the time called the tribulation. The tribulation is going to begin with an event called the rapture. The rapture is when people who are Christians today, if you are living, if you haven't died already, okay? Like my dad, okay, my dad's a Christian, but he has died, so he's already passed on. But anyone who's alive, who's a Christian, when that event calls the rapture, when it happens, you're going to be instantly transformed and taken into heaven where Jesus is. And then it's going to be the worst 7 years this earth has ever seen. And then at the end of that period of time, Jesus is going to come back, and we're going to come with him. This is not a fantasy. I'm not making this up. This is the truth. Can you go back to... Oh, thank you for doing that. Can you go back to Revelation for just a second, Clint? Look at the last part, verse 14. It says, those who are with him, that is with the King of Kings, that's Jesus, those who are with him are called and chosen and faithful. Do you know who those are who are with him? Do you know who that is? It's going to be you guys who are Christians. You're coming back with Jesus to reign and rule over the earth. That's the promise. That's where you're headed. Okay? So now you can know, where am I going? You can know some more facts about your future beyond the grave, beyond when you die. Now, I want to take you to one more passage of Scripture, and this one's in Daniel. And this is one of the most pivotal passages in all of Scripture regarding prophecy. I told you one of the things we talked about. Your generation is looking for meaning and for purpose and for significance. We're going to see that Daniel had meaning, he had purpose, and he had significance because God used Daniel. He revealed to him some of the most important prophetic events, the things about prophecy, about the future, in all the Bible. Daniel chapter 9, verses 24 through 27. It says, 70 weeks have been decreed for your people and your holy city to finish the transgression, to make an end of sin, to make an atonement for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy place. So you are to know and discern that from the issuing of a decree to restore and rebuild Jerusalem until Messiah the Prince, there will be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. It will be built again with plaza and moat, even in times of distress. Then after the 62 weeks, the Messiah will be cut off and have nothing. And the people of the prince who is to come will destroy the city and the sanctuary, and its end will come with a flood, even to the end. There will be war, desolations are determined. Now I want to stop right there for just a second. I don't want to take too much time here, so I want to kind of go through this quickly and kind of tell you what it means, because it's important. When you see in verse 24, 70 weeks, see, 1 week represents 7 years, okay? We don't have time to go into how we can prove that, but just trust me, 1 week represents 7 years. So 70 weeks, 70 times 7 is what? 490, right? 490 years. Okay? 70 times 7, 7 weeks, 490 years. So this is an angel, by the way, who's talking to Daniel regarding the future of his people, who are the Jews. Because Daniel was a Jew, Daniel was praying, asking the Lord, what's going to happen to us in the future? When are we going to come out of that captivity? And the Lord sent an angel to answer him. What's interesting is this. Daniel prayed for 3 weeks before he got an answer. Guess what was going on during that 3 weeks before the angel came to him? We're told in Daniel chapter 10 that the angel who was bringing the message to Daniel was waging war with another angel, a fallen angel, a demon. The Bible tells us that. Battle of the ages right there. Angelic conflict, good versus evil. It was happening right then, right there. So anyway, so Daniel prays. He's been told there will be 490 weeks before your nation will ultimately be restored. And if we were to read on without going into too much detail, it speaks about verse 25. You are to know and discern that from the issuing of a decree to restore and rebuild Jerusalem. What about that? When was a decree issued to restore and rebuild Jerusalem? Nehemiah got that decree from a king. His name escapes me. But anyway, if we were to go to the book of Nehemiah, we would find out that he was issued a decree to restore and rebuild Jerusalem. That happened on, I believe it was, forgive me if I'm wrong on the dates here, Gene, but I think it was March 14th, 445 B.C. Is that right? Okay. March 14th, 445 B.C. Okay? This prophecy right here was fulfilled. The decree went forth. And it goes on to say, restore and rebuild Jerusalem and tell Messiah the Prince there will be 7 weeks. What is it? What's 7 times 7? 49 years. And then 62 weeks. What's 62 times 7? That's 434. So we have a total here of 483 years. Okay? Because 434 and 49 equals 483. Now, what's interesting is this. Again, without going into too much detail. From the time that that decree went forth to restore and rebuild Jerusalem until the time Jesus Christ walked into Jerusalem, it was 483 years. Think about that for a minute. Here we have a prophecy predicting something that long before any of the Nehemiah was alive, when it was, 500-something B.C., okay? Many years before it was predicted. And then this issue goes forth through Nehemiah that there would be 483 years when the Messiah, the Prince, would be cut off. And what is amazing is this. It was exactly 483 years to the day when Jesus Christ walked into Jerusalem and the week before he was crucified. You can't make this stuff up, guys. How can somebody predict that? Only God can. Only God can set that kind of a timetable and have it happen just exactly as the Bible says, down to the very day. So that means if this prophecy is true, then it also means, because we know it's true because it's already happened, then that means what the Bible has to say about the future is also true. We can believe it 100%. That's why I know for a fact that if I were to drop dead right here, right now, I know for a fact I would be face to face with Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Because I've put faith in Christ. I know that for a fact. Do you know that for a fact? This is why it's so important to understand where you're going. Let's read verse 27. And he will make a firm covenant with the many for 1 week. But in the middle of the week, he will put a stop to sacrifice and grain offering, and on the wing of abominations will come one who makes desolate, even until a complete destruction, one that is decreed, is poured out on the one who makes desolate. Here we have the last week, because there's been 483 or 69 weeks. So there's still 1 week missing. Do you see that? There's still 1 week missing of the 70 weeks that the angel told Daniel. And so see, since Jesus has been crucified and resurrected, up to this point, it's already been almost 2,000 years. That means there's still 1 week that needs to happen. And if 1 week is 7 years long, how long, somebody tell me, how long is the tribulation? 7 years, okay? That means the tribulation has everything to do with Israel. Gene was talking about Romans 9 through 11 today during the adult class. The more you know about this stuff, the more your head's going to explode in a good way. It's absolutely astounding at how accurate and how the Bible works. So, here we have two passages of Scripture, one in Revelation and one in Daniel, that speak of future events and that show us what's going to happen in the future, where we're headed, so to speak. Okay? So if we know that, if we know all these things have happened and these facts have come to pass as the Bible said they would, then again, I reiterate to you, that means that you can know your future right now where you sit. You can be assured of salvation through Jesus Christ. And that all it takes is a simple decision, exercising faith in Christ. And when you do, you are saved. You are His. You belong to Him. And you will be saved and belong to Him for all eternity. That's good news. That's called the gospel. So that's what I wanted you guys to see tonight. I want you to understand that you can be assured of where you're going. And you can have meaning and purpose and significance in life. And it all begins with a personal relationship in Christ. All right. Now, what I want to do, I want to spend the last little while here showing you this video because it's about 20 minutes long. And what this is, can we turn the lights off? What this is a this is a four-star admiral in the Navy. He's a Navy SEAL. And he's giving a commencement address in 2014 to the graduating class of the University of Texas. All right? So you guys enjoy it.